Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And today our topic is Paul Crouch, TBN. Paul Crouch died last week at the age of 79, and will this be the end or the death of TBN as we know it? So we have a lot to talk about today. And remember, this is a live call-in program, and the call-in number is 914-338-1638. And if you'd like, if you have a question or a comment, we'll take your call. Also, the chat room is open, so if you have any comments, you can also make them there. So we want to remind you that we come to you, we try to be live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and all our shows are archived, so you can go back and listen to every show that we have produced in the last 4 years. So we have so many different topics, and God has blessed us with so many wonderful guests that have stopped by. And, you know, God has a people, and God has a righteous people. He has a holy people that refuse to compromise and refuse to sell the gospel. So we hope and we pray that this will be a new day, as some of the old ways die off. And personally, I know it's a sad event for the family, because he did have a wife or an ex-wife or whatever she was, and children, and grandchildren. So, of course, the family mourns the loss. But as far as Paul Crouch and his false teachings, the way he promoted false teachings, I'm not sad to see that go at all. Not at all. So I want to just quote a few scriptures before we get started. So let's try to base this program today on the Word of God. Ezekiel 22:12, in thee have they taken gifts to shed blood. Thou hast taken usury and increase, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord God. Matthew 23:25, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. And we've seen enough of that on what they call Christian television, which for the most part it's become an abomination. And people have become greedy, chasing after money instead of chasing after the things of God, making a mockery really of the ways of the Lord, and presenting a false image of Christianity, which is so far from what the Bible teaches. So anyway, let's look at Ephesians 5, and let's start at verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. That means be not partakers with them. What that means is don't watch the silly programs. Don't send them your money. If you're attending a church where they promote these false doctrines, then you need to leave. You can't partake and support these type of things. I think it's very important for us to take a stand for what is right. If it means you lose every friend you have or whoever turns against you, who's more important? I mean, who died on the cross for you? So our allegiance is to Christ. And that's what the Word of God says. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So let's walk as children of light, and let's put aside all this foolishness. Many of us, for many, many years, I wrote my article after being in 1997, so I was already a Christian for 16 years, and working in full-time ministry and into the Word of Faith movement and preaching all over the world in many different places. I can't say all over the world, really, but in many places of the world. But and then I realized that there was no such thing as seed faith, and there was no such thing as tithing 10% of your money. And so I wrote an article, The Era of Seed Faith Giving. So I knew the day that I published that article and I sent it out, in those days we used to send out our newsletters, that I was probably going to lose every friend I had, and I wasn't going to get any more invitations, speaking invitations in these Word of Faith churches, but so be it. Anyway, there along came the internet, and then there were many more of us saying the same things and thinking the same things and realizing how desperately we needed a reformation in the church, and how we had to stand for the truth and to speak out about the truth, because personally, I would like to see it stop. I can hardly bear to turn on the TV and to watch the foolishness that goes on in the name of Jesus. It's just ridiculous. So let's not be a part of it. Romans 1 and let's start at verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So we see the legacy that has been left behind from the Crouch family, and we're going to get into that and how it pertains to how they treated their granddaughter, their grandchildren, from their son, Paul Crouch Jr., how they treated their own son, how they treated former employees, breaking into people's houses. Maybe it was them. It wasn't proven, but it's suspect. Harassing people, suing people, spending millions of dollars on lawsuits, every kind of frivolous lawsuit, taking your donations that, quote-unquote, they need to preach the gospel, and using that money to sue people for any little thing. Okay, if you have a just reason to sue someone, then, of course, you have a just reason to do it. If it's an unbeliever, yeah, especially because you don't let the devil just come in and steal anything he wants. But when you profess to be a believer and then you're suing everyone, including your own granddaughter, something wrong with that. But we're going to get into all that. You see that the Bible explains all these things, and then you're going to have people say, well, don't judge, and it's not love. Well, I just quoted Romans 1 to you, so you couldn't be any clearer than that. And there's a couple other scriptures. Let me see. Let's look at this one where the Bible talks about making merchandise of you. So these are not my quotes. These are quotes that are in the Bible. So we need to read the Bible, because most of these people, is how they fool you and how they deceive you, is they tell you, don't judge, and you have to love everybody. And so if you don't read the Bible for yourself and find out what's in there, then you'll be deceived. And I don't think you want to take a mark on your forehead. Okay, 2 Peter 2:3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. John 2:16, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. So Jesus Christ himself was angry. Mm-hmm. He was angry. You have to be angry to go into a temple and turn over the money changers' tables. He was a little upset about what was going on. So Jesus didn't just walk around wearing flowers in his hair and singing nice songs about love. He got angry. And God is a God of judgment, too. So you need to remember that. All of us are afraid of God. We should be afraid of God if we know God and we profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We should have some fear of God in us, that I don't want to be judged by God. No. And I've said it before on this program. We remember back in the 1980s when we had the scandals that broke, and we were all, of course, I was a new Christian. I was just probably 5 or 6 years old, a Christian. And I was devastated when I found out that a minister of the gospel, Jim Baker, had an adulterous affair with a girl that he brought into his hotel room. And then they were paying hush money to her, and the scandal continued. But it's like the Bible said, be sure your sin will find you out. So you can't take donations and then use it for extortion and bribes. No, you can't do that. The thing is, if Jim Baker had sinned and then he didn't pay extortion, he just made it worse. He just spiraled out of control. And then, of course, especially if you commit adultery, there's two people involved. So you can count on it, especially if you're a famous person, that they're going to tell somebody eventually when they need some money. And so then, of course, this girl came out of hiding, and she made millions of dollars later on as a Playboy model and whatever, you know, claiming. And she was claimed to be a Christian. Well, I don't think so. So anyway, and then right after that, you know, Jimmy Swaggart was caught with going to visit prostitutes, paying prostitutes. He was going cruising around in Louisiana, I don't know, Baton Rouge or New Orleans or something. He was picking up this girl and going to her motel room. I'm like, what? You know, I mean, the Bible says that if you disobey God willingly and you continually disobey God, you're going to lose your mind. So remember what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He wound up on all fours, and he was eating grass, and his fingernails grew real long, and his hair was disheveled, and he went crazy. So that's what we see now. We see all this crazy nonsense going on, especially on television, which has nothing to do with the gospel. It's just insane, the behavior of these people. And they don't care about you. They could care less about your salvation or your soul or whatever. If they really did care, they wouldn't be robbing you. So anyway, I see that I do have a caller. And I will be taking your call in a minute, 412, so just hold on. Anyway, we're going to get into the there was an article, and I thought this was a great article. Now, I like a lot of the things that J. Lee Grady writes, and J. Lee Grady at one time was the editor of Charisma Magazine. Now, for us that remember Charisma Magazine going back to the day whenever it was founded, I don't remember exactly when it was founded, but I remember it from my early Christian days, and we liked Charisma Magazine. We liked getting it and reading it, and it was a good-looking magazine, well done. And so, but if you ever wanted to put up a letter to the editor, which I sent several letters to the editor, but of course they would never publish anything you said, especially if they didn't agree with what you were saying. But now they have you can blog on, you can make comments on their stories, and so for the most part, they put them up and they don't take them down. I've had a couple of my comments taken down, but I just go back and put it back up again. But anyway, J. Lee Grady is the former editor of Charisma, And, of course, we know Charisma Magazine is kind of like, they let this article be published, and this is a great article. But then they promote Rod Parsley, Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn. They promote all these people. So I don't get it. It's like you can't be half in and half out. You have to just take a stand for the truth and throw the bums out already. I mean, please, I don't care if I ever see Benny Hinn again until he repents. If he doesn't repent, I don't want to look at him. I don't want to hear him. I don't want to hear anything he has to say. I don't want to hear anything T.D. Jakes has to say, except if I'm doing research for both of these people. I don't want to hear Kenneth Copeland. I don't want to see him on TV until he repents. I just don't want to see these people anymore. I don't want to hear what they have to say. I'm not interested. If you can't be honest and fair with God's people, then I don't want to hear you. And that's the way we should all be. Just turn them off and quit sending them money, and eventually they'll go away. But anyway, let me read a few points here from the article. And you can go to the charisma.com website. And the article, it's called "It's Time to Reboot Christian Television." And amen to that. So some of the points he brings up here, and I'm going to go over these. He says, support Christian television with advertising, not donations. He says, I'd rather watch ads for steak knives or dietary supplements than endure 2 hours of begging, especially when the slick-haired evangelist running the telethon reminds you of a used car salesman. Amen. I mean, you know, like Todd Koontz, I mean, he looks like a used car salesman. Steve Muncy, yeah, they act like used car salesmen. Okay, prosperity preaching shouldn't be allowed. Amen to that. Networks need to declare a moratorium on sermons that promise magical monetary benefits to people who call now, pick up the phone, run to your phone, to give a credit card donation. This type of merchandising of the anointing of the Holy Spirit grieves God and drags Christian TV down to the level of scam artists. All right, right on, Lee. Right on. Okay. Point three, preachers and their doctrine should be more carefully screened. Christian networks should not air programs by ministers who have questionable morals. Amen. If we wouldn't allow that person in our church's pulpit, why would we let them preach in front of millions on the air? Amen to that. Donors should never be manipulated. If there is an appeal for donations, there should be no hanky-panky allowed. Don't tell people that if they give tonight, God will give them a house. Don't promise that God will heal their bodies if they sow a $1,000 seed. And don't tell viewers that if they give in this special Day of Atonement offering, God will forgive their sins. This is witchcraft. Shame on any broadcaster who has allowed this garbage to deceive audiences. Now, this is in Charisma Magazine, so this is quite astonishing. Money should never be misused. TBN makes millions in donations every year, and the network has donated some of the funds to charitable causes, but why is it that broadcasters like Paul and Jan Crouch had to purchase lavish homes, a private jet, they have one jet at $50 million, and an enormous trailer for their dogs? Donors should demand more accountability for financial contributions. Okay, let's see. Network owners should not set up broadcasting kingdoms. Some leaders in the past generation believe that ministries are like dynasties, that God expects the founder's son to run it when he dies. but there's nothing in Scripture that even hints at ministries being passed down through family lines. God entrusts his work to faithful people. Well, we see that. And then, you know, we see like Marilyn Hickey, her daughter is like her clone. And then John Hagee, his son, is like his clone. And then we have Matthew Crouch, which is the clone of Jan and Paul, which he may not even be Paul Crouch's biological son, but we'll get into that in a few minutes. But anyway, you kind of hope that when these kids come up, the kids of some of these people, that they say, you know what, I'm not going to do it like my mother and father. I can't stand it. I'm sure they can't stand how their parents behave, but they want the money. So they're going to compromise, and then they're just going to be a repeat exactly what their parents, the false foolishness that their parents taught, so they can take over the ministry when their parents die. So it's a little disappointing with some of these kids how they won't take a stand. Anyway, I don't see my caller anymore, so I guess they waited too long. But okay, let's look at a few things. Now, of course we know that Paul Crouch Sr. passed away last Saturday, and they claim that he did not want a public funeral. Okay, I thought about it, and you know, it kind of went over my head because I didn't think too much about it. I know some of my friends had said, well, they had expected it to be quite the funeral because of his ego. So a friend of mine mentioned to me last night that he thought the reason that they weren't having a public funeral is because they didn't, what would they do if they had a public memorial service and Paul Crouch Jr. showed up with his children, and they've all been fired from the ministry, and one of the granddaughters, Brittany Crouch Culper, is being sued. There's about five or six lawsuits against her by her grandparents and her uncle, so her half-uncle or whatever. So I thought, well, that's probably the reason they're not having a public memorial, because how bad would it look? Of course, you know that his son, Paul Crouch Jr., is going to want to be there. After all, it was his father and the grandchildren. So what would they have to do? Have police there barricading so they wouldn't come in the door? It would be a little embarrassing. So that's probably the reason. Of course, I'm only speculating. I don't know for sure, but it's probably the reason why they're not having a public memorial service for Paul Crouch, because I'm sure Matthew Crouch, now that he's the king of the kingdom over there, doesn't want his half-brother anywhere near that ministry. Talk about sibling rivalry. Imagine if your parents were worth $1 billion on paper in real estate holdings, and mainly real estate holdings, the television set stations that they own and the satellite networks that they own and the mansions, multiple mansions they own. And we're going to get into that, especially the homes right around the TBN studio there in Costa Mesa. I think they, in back there, and there's a story on the internet I'll point you to, in back of that studio is a housing development, and they actually bought 12 or 15 houses inside that development. The only person that lives there on occasion is Matt Crouch. So I suspect that the Crouches have probably 100 houses. They probably own a house in every city where there's a station, and now there's these stations in foreign countries. So if they own 12 to 15 houses right next door to TBN and Costa Mesa, well, they must own quite a few pieces of real estate. So your donations are not all going to, we need your money to preach the gospel. No, it's going to buy real estate. And why do we call it real estate? Because it's real. And you will have an estate if you have real estate. So they have made sure that they bought plenty of real estate with your donations. And it will not be, it will be passed down to their children and to their children's children. It will not be sold and given back to the poor. It will not be sold and given back to the people that gave the donations. It will be passed on to make their families even richer in the future, if it lasts, because I suspect that there will be a power struggle there. And also that you can expect everybody to start coming out of the woodwork now with books and lawsuits and, you can expect anything to happen now. And it will happen. It will happen. Because I don't care who you try to sue or who you try to intimidate, and they are, they do try to intimidate anybody that tries to go public with any information against them. They're a bunch of bullies over there. And, but you can't stop God. You can't bully him. You can't intimidate him. When he's ready to bring you down, he's going to bring you down. And there's not one thing you can do about it. Nothing. Nothing. Ask Jim Baker when he sat inside a jail cell at a federal prison if there was anything he could have done to stop it. Nothing. Nothing. The thing is, if you have a pure heart before God and you repent for the things that you've done wrong, he will forgive you and he will not uncover your sins. But there is a time when God will expose you if you just keep on, especially when people's lives are at stake, when their salvation is at stake. That's the most important thing. You know, hell is a real place. And we don't preach the gospel for greedy gain. We preach the gospel because there's people that need to hear it. And anybody that has a mouth could preach the gospel. So you don't need $1 billion dynasty to do it. That's a lie. You can go on YouTube, or you can go on to Rapture Ready Radio, or just, you know, put Jackie Alnor and Brittany Koper. It's K-O-P-E-R, Brittany Crouch Koper, who is the granddaughter of Paul and Jan Crouch, the daughter of Paul Crouch Jr. And Jackie Alnor has an excellent radio broadcast on Rapture Ready Radio, on Blog Talk Radio. She authored a book about TBN, and she happened to interview their granddaughter after she was fired and her grandparents started suing her. So there is a great interview that you can listen to. And, of course, now the granddaughter has been gagged and she's no longer allowed to talk. So it's like, what were her grandparents afraid of that they actually put a gag order out on their granddaughter so she couldn't talk? I guess that sounds real Christian, doesn't it? I'm going to give you a little background about Brittany. Like I said, she is Paul Crouch Jr.'s daughter, and her mother and her father are divorced. She has an MBA a master's from Concordia University, so she's a smart girl. She worked at TBN from 2007 to 2011, initially in the personnel department, and then she was named the chief financial officer of TBN on July 5th, 2011. On August 30th, 2011, Coper and her husband, also employed by TBN, wrote a confidential memorandum to Paul Crouch Sr. alleging that we think current TBN practices and procedures violate the IRS code and state and federal laws. We do not feel comfortable being secretary and treasurer without bringing these issues forward. So within a month after they made that statement, TBN terminated their employment. And then later that year, Paul Crouch Jr. himself was terminated. Now imagine, they fired their own son. So on February 11th, 2011, well, that's probably not the right date. It would have to be 2012. Coper filed a lawsuit against Daver and Lowe, a law firm that had previously represented both Coper and TBN. In this lawsuit, Coper alleges that TBN unlawfully distributed over $50 million to the organization's directors. Coper also accused Daver and Lowe of professional negligence for allegedly secretly filing a lawsuit against her while continuing to serve as her legal counsel. Wow, that's pretty tricky. So it looks like some kind of fishy stuff going on. These attorneys were supposed to be representing her. Meanwhile, they were filing a lawsuit against her. Talk about being underhanded. On May 10, 2012, Coper filed a declaration in support of a lawsuit filed against TBN by her husband's uncle, Joseph McBay. In this declaration, Coper alleged that TBN improperly dispersed large sums of money to its directors. TBN denies these allegations and alleges that Coper and her husband embezzled. So in response, TBN says, oh, no, they were embezzling money. You know, well, and I heard the granddaughter say this herself, Brittany. If she was embezzling money, then why wasn't she arrested? But, of course, then they start accusing her falsely of, well, look, they were embezzling money. They're crooks. And so it plays out now. You can search on the internet. The Orange County Register did some excellent articles on the subject, and you can look up some of the lawsuits. I think there was five or six different lawsuits that have been filed against their granddaughter. Now, why would they do that if they were such God-fearing, wonderful ministers of the gospel? No, only wolves in sheep's clothing do that kind of a thing. Anyway, God is the judge, isn't he? So let's look at a little bit of a history behind TBN. I noticed lately that TBN, if you go on late at night, you'll see that they've been playing some old programs from the 80s, which are quite interesting. The other night, they had a guest on, and this was in 1985, so they were saying that, oh, this poor guest has to drive from Hollywood on the 5 freeway, and it takes 2 hours to drive, and you know, we need a helicopter because we have to have a helicopter
to go pick him up from Costa Mesa to Hollywood, and then Pat Boone and all the other people, they won't have to drive over to be interviewed. We can have the helicopter pick them up. Oh, yeah, okay, sure. That's very necessary. So I need a helicopter myself. I mean, that would be fun. I wouldn't have to drive anywhere. I could just go outside in my helicopter, and why should I have to drive hours just to get someplace? Oh, my goodness, that's a chore. Okay, the TBN network was founded, it looks like it was founded in the 70s, and they have built themselves quite a dynasty since then. Now, I have only been, I've been on some of the local TBN networks. Now, this was back in the 90s. I was on the one in Miami, and I was on the one in Denver, but I've never seen any of the other TBNs. I don't know how many they have altogether. I know they have the one in California. They have the one in Denver. They have one in Irving, Texas. They have one in Hendersonville, Tennessee, Gadsden, Alabama, Decatur, Georgia, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Orlando, Florida, and New York City. And they probably have more than that. You can go to their website and see, oh, there's a variety of things that they own, but it says their launch date, which was 1973. And at that time, of course, TV was, Christian television anyway, was very new. And it was a good business to get into if you could get into it. I myself was interested in buying a television station at one time. And you could get them reasonably, a television license and a station. The one that I was looking at was $25,000 for the for the license. And it even had a tower, a TV tower, that nobody was using. It was just laying up there in the mountains. So they just happened to step into it at the right time. And so I have to say Paul Crouch was a good businessman. He was definitely that. He was an excellent business person, and he built himself quite a little kingdom there. So let's look a little bit into his biography. Paul Crouch was born in Missouri, the son of Assembly of God missionaries. His father died when he was 7, and he was raised by his mother and his grandparents. And he graduated from Central Bible Institute and Seminary in Springfield, Missouri, in 1955 with a degree in theology. He also received 3 honorary doctorates. Of course, one of them was from Oral Roberts. Oh, everybody's got one of those. Not everybody, but a lot of the people that you see on TV have the doctor. Everybody's a doctor now. Doctor this and doctor that, and they get those degrees, honorary degrees. And many of them do come from Oral Roberts University. Crouch met Janice Bethany in 1957, and they were married. And whether they're still married, I don't know for sure. But, of course, they don't live together, and you can hear that in the interview that was done by the granddaughter, Brittany Crouch Coper. She claimed that she never remembers her grandparents living together, and I guess she was maybe 28, 29 when she gave this interview to Jackie Elnor. So she said she never remembered them living together, and that the grandmother, Jan, had had an affair with this Dick Dubois, who was a Mr. Universe or a Mr. America. You can looked his picture up on the internet. Nice looking guy. He's a spitting image of Matt. And supposedly Matt was not the biological child of Paul Crouch Sr. He was his father was Dick Dubois. And so anyway, she also claimed that Paul Crouch Sr. was an alcoholic. Now, I can understand that. I could, because maybe if he had any knowledge of God at all in his life, I don't know. I don't know if this man was truly born again. I'll tell you the truth. I don't really know. I can't believe that somebody that's really born again could perpetuate so many false doctrines. In his later years, he was wearing a priest uniform. He actually put on a Catholic priest collar. And then the malicious tactics, the bullying that was done to people, anybody that would try to expose TBN in any way, they even have a veiled threat that Paul Crouch Sr. and Matt were saying that people have died. Paul Crouch Sr. said, oh, he attended the funeral of someone that had said something against TBN. Well, that's foolishness, absolute foolishness. And so, in other words, don't open your mouth, otherwise you'll die. It's ridiculous. Anyway, you can see that interview on YouTube. And so what godly person says, well, if you talk about me, you're going to die. It's ridiculous. Anyway, it's like, what kind of a Christianity is that? So also, now as part of this lawsuit that was filed against Brittany, the granddaughter, she had files and she had information. This is all public knowledge, so. It's been written in the Orange County Register, which, look, you can't publish things. And I have people say, it's not true, and these things aren't true. Let me tell you something. You cannot go on the Internet and say things about people, famous people anyway, without being sued. You will get sued for slander. You can't do it. They will sue you. And unless you have a lot of money and some good attorneys, then you can go on the Internet and say whatever you want. But you can't make up these stories. And if the Orange County Register, which is the local newspaper there, is willing to go public with these stories, they must have done some investigating to find out that the stories were true. Otherwise, they would lose their newspaper. So what's ever been published and is fact is fact. So nobody's making this stuff up. Let's see. So the lawsuit with Brittany, and of course she had some documents and things that she saved after she left there. And lo and behold, her house where she was staying was burglarized. And what did they take? They took her computers. You can also do a search about that, about the burglaries. There were stolen files, gun threats, gag orders. It says that the former attorney, Timothy McLeod, suffered a burglary where computers and legal files were reported stolen. And now this story didn't really, it didn't get a lot of coverage, the break-ins. But, of course, Brittany's mom's house, where her husband and herself were working,
Their house was broken into, legal files, computers, and legal mail was stolen. Now, who would do that? Anyway, the Britney's new attorney, Gary Richardson, has also been burglarized for similar legal items. So, why? Why were these people, why was their house and their law offices broken into? Why? Who was afraid of what here? So I don't care how many times they break in, how many times they try to do things to people, to sue people. There is a God in heaven that sees everything and knows everything. So you can't hide from God. So I don't know why these people have to act like criminals. Anyway, that's another interesting aspect to the story. But a little bit more about the history of TBN. Let's see here. TBN, well, they have cable operators. Of course, they're on many, many cable networks. They're viewed on over 70 satellite networks, 18,000 TV and cable affiliates. TBN is carried by 287 television stations in the U.S. And it said that Paul Crouch's salary at the end of 2008, anyway, was almost $500,000. Never mind all the perks, the $50 million. Now, okay, if you're an executive, you probably do need an airplane, but who needs a $50 million airplane? Oh, no, they don't buy themselves just an economical airplane, $50 million airplane. So, my goodness. Keep those cards and letters coming in. There's also a good website that you might want to go to, a website called TBN Exposed. And there's quite a bit of information on here from Sylvia Fleener. And I expect that you'll probably be hearing more from her now. And a lot of other people that, for instance, the Enoch Lonnie Ford, who claimed that he had a homosexual relationship with Paul Crouch Sr., and he actually wrote a book. He also was paid off, let's call it a bribe, really, to keep his mouth shut. And I think they gave him close to $500,000, who knows, the first time, really. But then later on he came back and he said he wrote a book and he was trying to sell his book. And so then, I guess they paid him off again, so then the book went away. But I expect the book to come out along with many other books. And the reason I'm saying this, and I want you to understand this, it's not because I want to see these people hurt. I don't want to see these people hurt. They're still human beings that have feelings. They have children that love them, probably. It seems like their grandchildren love them. And I don't want to see them hurt. What I would really like to see is I'd like to see them repent and stop taking advantage of people for your own gain. Stop the wickedness. Stop trying to hurt people and have them arrested and suing people. There's a story here on the TBN Exposed website, stories here actually of people that they have intimidated and they have sued. If someone sues you, you have to answer the lawsuit, because if you don't answer the lawsuit, you lose the case. And so if they're, say someone's suing you for $100,000, you have to go and get an attorney, and then you have to counter the lawsuit. So it's going to cost you something. And if you don't, then you lose, and then you have to pay them the $100,000, even if it's a frivolous lawsuit. And a lot of these lawsuits that TBN files against people, it's against people that don't have a lot of money. And so they have to go hire an attorney and spend money that they really don't have, because TBN didn't like something that you did or you said or whatever. And if you go on to the TBN Exposed website, you'll see, if you click on latest updates, you'll see a story here, June 9th, 2008. And the topic is Lifestyle Homes, Begin the Saga of TBN's Relations with Its Neighbors. And this is the housing development that's right in back of TBN. And it says by 2012, TBN owns all the homes in this community except one. Now, why do they need to own all the homes that are in this community? Why? It says here that they have filed, had numerous battles with TBN, with the Planning and Zoning Board and with the Police Department. And so you can look at this here. And this woman had to spend money on attorneys and, you know, going back and forth with TBN. And these are Christian people. So why couldn't TBN be nice Christian people and just try to settle the thing without harassing this lady? Let's go over to more of these updates. But you'll see on the site TBN Exposed, there's quite a bit of information here that's been made public. So Sylvia Fleener, the author of this website, had written a book, and TBN, I think she gave the book to Jan Crouch, and that's how they didn't, they took her book, and then they made this movie, The Omega Code, out of it, and they didn't, they didn't give her any money after they took her book and made multiple millions of dollars themselves from her manuscript. So she had to sue them, and then, of course, they settled. But imagine that you write a book, and you're probably interested in making a movie, and you give it to a ministry to look at. You know, it's not a gift, and they take your book, and they make a movie out of it. Her book was called The Omega Syndrome, okay? And it said that in December 1994, Dottie Snow reports to Sylvia that she took a manuscript, a copy of the manuscript, to TBN in Tennessee with a personal note for Jan Crouch. Well, later on, of course, we know that Matt had a movie production company, and they came out with that movie, The Omega Code, which was based on Sylvia Fleener's book, The Omega Syndrome. So they wound up in court, and they settled the case. So if they didn't do anything wrong, they would have never settled the case with Sylvia, but they did. They had to pay her, which is only right, because There's ministries that are like that. They always want you to volunteer, and they want you to work for free, and then they want to take your ideas that you've worked for. And I'm not opposed to people that are in the ministry getting paid. If you're working, you should get paid. Did anybody ever work with a pastor? I've worked with pastors. They do work. I've been on staff at churches. I see what goes into the operation. I see what goes into operations of homeless shelters and feeding ministries. So if you're working, you have to get paid. But a lot of these places, they're taking all this money in, and they want you to volunteer, and then they want to take your screenplays and your manuscripts, and they're so greedy that they have to make even more money. So you can look on this website. It's quite informative. And like I said, don't say, oh, they're making all this up. No, they're not making it up, because I'm sure Sylvia Fleener does not want to land up in a jail cell and lose her home and her cars and everything she's worked for all her life just to put up a website about TBN. So, no. This is a person who is familiar with the Crouches. I mean, I don't know how well she knew them exactly, but she had some contact with them and with some of the people that work there at TBN. There's also a story here about Kelly Whitmore, who was Jan Crouch's personal assistant, and she was also brought in for this deposition. You can spend a lot of time on here looking at this information, and I think the information is good because we should be held to a higher standard. I'm not saying that Christians don't miss it and we don't sin and do things we probably shouldn't do at times, but the main thing is this, is that if you're in the ministry, you shouldn't be committing adultery on a regular basis. You shouldn't be practicing homosexuality. You shouldn't be engaging in fornication, which is sex before marriage. You have to be held to a higher standard. If we're not, then something's wrong. We shouldn't be robbing widows' houses. We shouldn't be robbing anybody. We should do honest work and try to live lives of integrity. That's what we should be doing. So if we do miss it, then we need to repent, and we need to try to do the right thing. But just to perpetuate this lifestyle that they've perpetuated, and they've built this whole kingdom around each other, and God forbid anybody tries to get in their way. They don't care what they have to do to you to push you out, not realizing that the Bible says you're going to reap what you sow. So if you're sowing to your flesh corruption, you're going to reap that corruption eventually. And you can't pay enough attorneys to stop judgment when it all comes down. So I think now that Paul Crouch Sr. is out of the way and he's no longer there, I don't see Matt Crouch being able to manage that ministry. He's too young, too inexperienced, and he's a bully. So who knows what kind of interaction there's going to be with Paul Crouch Jr., who was booted out, and you're talking about a billion-dollar enterprise there. So who knows what kind of family dynamics, what's going to go on there now, because I don't see any way that Matt and Jan are going to be able to run that place. Now that there was kind of a restraining force there once there was the three of them, Matt, Jan, and Paul. But now that he's gone, who knows what's going to happen. But I would like to see, like I said, I'd like to see repentance. And if you don't see repentance, then please just go away. And we thank you very much. But I don't personally care to see any more of the gospel that's being presented there. And the wickedness, even against your own family? Please. The only reason I would ever put a family member in jail is if they were molesting a child or committing some kind of sexual crime on someone, or they were guilty of murder or something. But to go after your own flesh and blood for your own greed and your own lust is ridiculous. And it's not Christian in any way, shape, or form. It's disgusting. So my hope and my prayer for the body of Christ and for the for Christian television and whatever, you know, they call Christian television, but it's not. Let's start all over again with a clean slate. And if they're not willing to repent and to do things the right way, then we just need to leave that behind and try to start over. There was a great reformation in the 1500s when Martin Luther tried to change things. And there's people like that today, reformers, who have a heart for God, who have a heart for the things of God and the kingdom of God. And we know this world is not our home. We're only passing through here. Anything that we have can be taken from us at any time. So we're not trusting in the things of this world. We trust in God to take care of us. We preach the gospel and tell people about Jesus because we love God, number one, because of what he's done for us. He picked us up out of the pit. We were in the pit. We were in the pig pen, like the prodigal son had eaten a slop. And God picked us up out of the pig pen, and he cleaned us off. And he made something beautiful out of our life. And he made something beautiful out of our life so we can help make something beautiful out of somebody else's. And not to display Christ as he's being displayed by these people that they call, they say, this is a ministry? No, no, it's not a ministry. No, it's not a ministry. So it's time for a reformation, and it's time. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. I get emails from people all the time, and they say, well, they're trying to talk me out of it because you know, they're telling me not to judge, but you can judge. You have to judge. You judge every day. You judge what food you're going to eat. You judge where you're going. You're making judgments all the time. And we have to judge between good and evil and right and wrong. We better judge. Otherwise, you'll wind up drinking the Kool-Aid like that bunch down there in Jonestown when Jim Jones led them all over there, and they left everything behind, and they were deceived. So don't be deceived. Don't let the devil deceive you, and don't let the devil steal what you've been given by Jesus Christ. You even hear of people saying, well, I backslid because this preacher did me wrong. Well, that's no reason to backslide because of some preacher. I'm surely not going to leave Jesus because some preacher did me wrong. That's for sure. He didn't die for me. So if somebody did you wrong, it was because you let them. And you were deceived. So we can blame the other person just so much. But we all have a Bible. So we're responsible for reading it. And you can't get pastoritis, that you just go to church on Sunday and the pastor tells you everything to do, and you don't do anything else besides what the pastor says. So That's why the Bible says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Don't be bewitched. Be a good Berean, steady to show yourself approved, and you'll lead a happier, stronger life in the Lord Jesus Christ if you take responsibility for your life and you take responsibility for your walk with the Lord. What's going to happen over there at TBN remains to be seen. But those are my feelings. Like I said, I expect anything to happen now, and it will. It will. They may be here today and gone tomorrow. We've seen it happen in the past. Like I said, I don't wish them any ill will. I wish and hope and I pray that they repent. I hoped, and this is what a friend of mine said to me, is that Paul Crouch had congestive heart failure maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. He was in the hospital for 10 days and actually died 3 times. He had to be on a breathing machine. Well, he pulled through. And then he went, they went on TBN with Jan and Matt, and he made a video. And then he was dead, 2 weeks later after he made this video. But God gave him time to repent. God gave him time to come to us, the body of Christ, and ask for our forgiveness and to admit what he did. How he used the gospel for his own gain, how he manipulated people with these telethons and these seed sowing and this foolishness that they presented to the world as the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I had hoped that during that time, after he died 3 times, that he would come clean and humble himself. But he didn't. He didn't. And that, to me, that is shocking, because any of us that have faced death know that during that time where we're facing death, we try to make things right with people. And how could you be a person that supposedly has built a ministry not come to the church and openly confess and hope and pray that the people that were taking over after you were gone would do things right? And that didn't happen. That didn't happen. So just like at the Tower of Babel, God confused and confounded the plans of the enemy. He confused and confounded the language. And that's probably what's going to happen there. There will continue to be power struggles and things that will be done underhanded. And it's just not going to work anymore. It's just not going to work. So anyway, I want to thank you for tuning in today. And for some of you that are out there and you're listening, you say, why are you saying all this? And I want you to know something, that Jesus Christ is real. He is a real person. He walked the earth. He came to earth from heaven. He always lived in heaven before he came here. And he came here and he lived a perfect, sinless life. He never laid down his divinity. He was always God. He walked as a man. He looked like a man, but he was always God. He could not sin. And he was our example. So when you read the Gospels word for word and see for yourself how Jesus was. He cried. He laughed. He got angry at foolishness. He judged. He told the Pharisees off and the hypocrites. He told them they were whitewashed walls. Imagine. Now, when was the last time you walked into a synagogue and told people they were whitewashed walls? That's pretty strong, isn't it? you vipers and snakes. Now, that's pretty strong. When was the last time you did that? That's the real Jesus. Not the New Age Jesus, but that's the real Jesus. So find out what he's really like. Yeah, he's a God of love. Yeah, he laid down his life for us, but he's also a God of judgment. Yeah. He also rebukes and corrects and chastens. He does all that too. Anybody out there been chastened by the Lord? Not a good feeling at all. But we've probably all had that happen to us by God. He'll smack you down. The Bible says when pride comes, then comes destruction, then comes a fall. Yeah, he'll smack you down. So anyway, if you don't know Jesus Christ today, ask him to come into your life. Ask him to reveal himself to you. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have to repent for the things that we've done. But he will forgive you. And when he forgives you, he forgets about it. Yeah, I know your crazy relatives want to remind you of your past. But when you're washed in the blood of the Lamb and you're born again, you have no past. It's over. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow. And that is a promise. And God will give you a brand new life. He gives you a new way of thinking. Everything changes. It's like your eyes are opened and it's a new day. The sun's shining. And there's a reason to live. And you don't have to be afraid when you die. You know you're going to heaven because heaven is a real place. It's a real city. And when you die, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell because hell is real too. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Everybody in this country has the opportunity to hear the gospel or to read a Bible. So there's no excuse. You're probably not happy in your sin anyway. Jesus Christ came to earth. He died on the cross. He ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he's making intercession for us, and he's coming again. No one is going to destroy this world. No. This is God's world, and he's coming again. So we have something to look forward to. No matter what you're going through today, no matter what crisis you're going through in your body, in your mind, in your finances, God will be there for you. He is a comforter. He really is. I don't know what I would do without God in my life and the Lord Jesus Christ. So anyway, we'll see what happens in the days ahead. And expect anything to happen. But I want to thank you all for tuning in today. And please come back again and tune in again. We have some great programs coming up. I'll be having Jackie Alnor on again, and we'll be talking about Catholicism. You can check out her broadcast, Scattered Sheep Report, on Rapture Ready Radio. And her website, Apostasy Alert. It's an excellent source of information out there. So anyway, God bless you and have a great day, okay? Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. Someday I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there. City that's set on a hill, its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.